Our text is Romans 15, verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. This is God's Word. On the morning of her third birthday, my granddaughter came into the kitchen and her family called out, "Happy birthday, Audrey!" And she said, "Am I three now?" She was ready for that because for a long time they'd been telling her, "You're getting to be a big girl, and when you have your birthday, then we're going to have a party and there will be gifts. And there will be a cake." She was ready for this. And at last the moment came. Am I three now? Most likely you are waiting with a feeling of anticipation for Christmas. You look forward to Christmas Eve, maybe in the candlelight service and the familiar Christmas carols. And you're looking forward to the family reunion and tearing off the wrapping paper from your Christmas present. We're in the season of Advent. It's a time of waiting and preparing. Christmas is coming, but it's not here quite yet. It's hard to wait for things to happen or wait for things to come. And St. Paul knew that, and that's why he wrote what he wrote in our text. He's writing to us and directing us to the Scripture because he wants to remind us that we can be hopeful and we can be patient and we can wait for God to do what he says he's going to do. When Paul wrote this, he said the Scriptures were written for our learning, and he was referring to the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a collection of books, and we might say they're all really about waiting for God to do what he promised he would do. The Old Testament is a sort of a series of inspired vignettes with themes that bubble up to the surface and then fade away. And then they're repeated later in another book where they reappear. You know the themes from the Old Testament that I'm talking about, but let's just review a couple of them. Here's a theme: God makes things perfect and man wrecks it. Think of the Garden of Eden. Here's another one: God warns man that there will always be consequences to every human decision. Think of the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. Here's another theme: God always resolves man's problem with sin in his own, sometimes surprising way. He may use representatives like King David, or the prophets like Isaiah, or he may use unlikely substitutes. Think of the sacrificial lamb, or think of the snake up on a pole in the desert. Now, a person might look at the stories from the Old Testament and say, "Oh, that's kind of dark. It's a little perplexing." A person might say, "Sorry, I just don't get it." And in fact, a lot of people have that attitude. For generations, people have lived their lives as though what the Bible says about God is really not so important to them. But Paul is saying in our text that everything that happened in the Old Testament, everything that got written down, that was for good reason. He said what was written for our learning. What he's saying there is that the Old Testament points us all in the same direction, makes us all look at the same thing and see that it was all really about Jesus Christ. Because at the first Christmas, Jesus came to repair what had been ruined by man's sin. That's our relationship with God. He came to bear the consequences for a world full of willful disobedience to God. He came to win forgiveness of sins for every last sinner in the history of the world, including you. And he did that by being your representative before God, so that his perfect life gets credited to your account. He did that by becoming the substitute for you, so that when he died at the cross, all of your sins were punished and forgiven. You might picture the whole world holding its breath before Christ came, hoping that someday something would happen that would break the bond of sin and disrupt that pattern of disobedience that was part of mankind. Believers were waiting for it to happen too, but they waited with a certain air of confidence because the scriptures had signaled already what God was up to, and they knew all they had to do was wait for God to finally send a Savior. Now, today, we're on the other side of that event. We are not waiting for God to send a Savior. He already did that. We're waiting for Jesus Christ to complete the mission and come again and bring us home to heaven. And while we wait, we're still living in a fallen world. We're still shackled to our old corrupted human nature, and so these things cause us all kinds of grief. That's why St. Paul's words apply to us very well today. He tells us to hang in there faithfully, to be patient and hopeful, and to look at the Bible and see that God does exactly what he says he's going to do. He keeps all of his promises, and you and I are going to be okay. When Audrey turned 3, her mother put a banner up in the living room. It said, "Happy birthday." And at the end of the week, she said, "Audrey, is it okay if we take the banner down now?" And Audrey said, "Will I still be 3? You and I don't have to wonder if we'll still be forgiven or if God still loves us, because our status with God is never in doubt. The world waited for the Savior, and finally he came. What Jesus accomplished with his life and his death and his resurrection, those blessings that he won for us are certain and unchanging. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, just as the Old Testament said he would. And so now you are, and you always will be, God's children, forgiven, for sure, forever. Amen.